Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. In this week's episode, I have a cup of coffee with Heidi Salamar, a self-care coach for stressed-out moms, as we discuss a message I received from a sobrina struggling with the working-from-home pandemic life and being a mom. Hey, Heidi.
Hello. How are you, Maria?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here to talk coffee and consejos.
Yeah, I'm so excited you're here. I know, you know, we've talked about this before, and how well we've connected. This is going to be amazing for sure. So my coffee for today is actually, I'm trying to bring myself into the Christmas spirit. So I have a coquito de café. Have you had that before?
I've never had that before because I am a diehard Bustelo fan. No one can get between me and my Bustelo, so...
Well, actually, I did use Butelo for this. So it's pretty much like a marriage with our traditional coquito and coffee.
Get out.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Wait. Coquito and coffee. I'm writing this down.
Yes.
So
how I discovered it was, so I like to make my bottles of coquito and I give them, you know, para regalar every holiday. So last Christmas, I was in my kitchen doing it, and I was just like, I wonder what it would taste like if I just put my coffee in it. And girl, I didn't even know this was a thing, but it's actually a thing. Like, I actually ended up Googling it, and people actually drink it. So
wow.
Yeah, so what I do is I have my dos tazas de Butelo, or whatever coffee that you want to drink, whoever, you know. Then you have your the lata de crema de coco. Leche condensada and evaporated milk, cinnamon, nutmeg, vanilla, and if you want to add the rum, you can add the rum. I don't drink because I like to take care of myself. I know it doesn't do me well, so I just add the coffee and I just mix it all in. Girl,
wow,
it's so good. It's
just, like it hit the spot.
It's so magical. I mean, like, what better than coquito and coffee? Like, new.
Wow. Now, what time of day did you drink it? Did you drink it at night, or did you drink it in the morning or during the day?
Oh, I'm drinking it. It was like in the middle of the day, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, no. Yeah. I can't hang with you that way, Ben. Me debelo. I'll stay up all night long if I have any coffee after 1 o'clock.
Really? Heidi can't hang.
That's how coffee affects me. One cup, that's it for the whole day. I can't. And it has to be in the morning, because if not, me debelo, no duermo.
Oh, wow. I must have a really strong tolerance.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful discovery to make right before the holidays. It's perfect.
Yes, girl. I know. And so this is going to be coming out in season 3. So if you're listening, this is after the holidays. I say drink it whenever you want anyway.
Yes, exactly.
It's that good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying, I take care of myself by not drinking alcohol because I know how it affects me, which brings me to the topic that we're going to talk about today.
Right.
Which is why I'm glad that you're here, because I received a message from a sobrina, and it's from Camila in Georgia. And it says, "Hola, tía. My husband and I have been working remotely since the beginning of this pandemic. We have 2 children, 3 and 18 months old. We tried to tag team the childcare. However, it's been really difficult. I sometimes don't even get to have a real meal. I feel like a horrible employee when I need to step away from my desk to handle my children. But then I feel like a horrible mom when I step away from them to work. Even more of a horrible wife when I'm just too exhausted to give my husband attention. I just can't seem to balance. I feel like there's no time. My husband helps, and I know he's probably feeling the same, mm-hmm. though he hasn't verbalized it. So, girl, I mean, there's so many parents out there feeling that way.
Yes, a lot of parents. First of all, Camila, my heart goes out to you. I so remember the toddler days. Girl, you're alive. You're in one piece. You guys are doing it together. That's amazing. First of all, let's celebrate you. Let's celebrate what you are doing. This is 9 months we're going into now. Almost 10. And now you're writing in to Tia Maria to ask for this, to say, but that just means that you hung on as long as you could. And what do we Latinos do? We hang on hasta lo último que uno no puede. And yeah. then you ask for help. But that just goes to show how strong you really are. So, Camila, you are a strong, badass woman. Is it okay if I say badass? Because I don't
of
know.
Of course. Okay. This is, we're here. You're in Tia Maria's house. We do what we say, whatever we want.
Okay. Just, you know, let me just make sure. So, Camila, you are a badass. Don't ever forget that you are a badass because you really are. This is very hard to do. It's so much harder than it was, I think, for, you know, people who just, women who just didn't work out of the home. You know, there are still families today where women do not work outside of the home. Women are in the home all the time. And then on top of that, you got a J-O-B? Like, that just makes you a really strong woman. So first off, let's celebrate you. The second thing is that I heard a lot of trying to be a great mom. I'm trying to be a great employee. I'm trying to be a great wife. I'm wondering, where is there room for you right now? Because you're not even eating your meals. Mm-hmm. Me imagino que Camila is probably like eating her meal standing up with the little baby on one at the desk, or sitting at the desk with one kid here trying to feed this one, trying to feed the three-year-old, and trying to grab a bite at the same time. I didn't hear a lot of what she was doing for herself. And so definitely something that I would consider if it's within their budget, if it's doable for them, because it's not doable for everybody right now, is daycare, at least part-time, to consider even 1 day a week, 2 days a week. And here's why. Everybody needs time for themselves. You cannot pour from an empty cup. There is no way that you can continue like this, living on fumes of energy when you're giving to everybody else and there's no time for you, like you're saying. So one thing is part-time daycare, or even if you can have a family member help you guys out. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know who you're living with, but I'm wondering about that, like if that's also an option for them. And I had some ideas here, but because the kids are so young, you know, that does make a difference. The 18-month-old is not going to understand as much as a three-year-old. The three-year-old, right. You could probably set them up with their own little mini desk with their wannabe computer or their tablet and have them play while you're doing something. If you have activities where, let's say, you have an important business meeting that you need to attend, maybe those are the times when you could switch off with your husband, where he can take the kids. You could do your meeting for 45 minutes to an hour, and then you guys switch off again. The other thing is, too, it's really funny. I was actually on LinkedIn, and a woman posted about her own situation and her difficulty with shutting off work. One of the things that I realized was, as somebody who has been, I've been a working mom for 20 years now. From the time my older son was in my belly, I've been a working mom. And definitely something, the first thing I will tell you to do is take your lunch hour. Do not sacrifice lunch. Step away from the desk. Go to the table. Sit with the kids and your husband and do family time lunch. Another thing, prepare your meals on the weekends. Meal prep, food prep on the weekends. That way, this is a no-brainer. Somebody wants snacks, mira, ahí toma. Somebody wants juice, ahí toma. Somebody needs a bottle, ahí toma, right? And you have everything as prepared as you possibly can ahead of time. Something else to consider here is, you know, what kinds of tasks do they have you doing for work? Is this a kind of job where, you know, you have strict deadlines with things, or can you be a little bit more flexible with them? So let's say you have one big thing to do, then three medium things, and then five small things. For example, five small things could be sending an email to such and such person about this thing. Check. It could be done in 2 minutes. A medium thing could be putting together a proposal for a project. It'll take you maybe a couple of days, and you put it together, draft, print, have somebody check it, send it out. Maybe one big thing is putting together a presentation for a business meeting next week. That's going to take you some time. So you can organize your day around these things that you need to do. And rather than focus on, you know, how much time you're spending on everything, you're focusing on completing the task. What's another idea? Another idea I had was, whenever you have the young children, try and think about what time of day are they interrupting the most. Might be around nap time is a good time to have meetings. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. that could be predictable when the kids are really young, is nap time. But when you're getting interrupted a lot, that's time that you could just say, let me do the small things. And I check them off my list. Oh, five small things, sending the email, making a copy of this, uploading that. These are all things that you can do in between attending to the children. In terms of wife time, it sounds like you guys really need that one-on-one time to check in with each other, to be together. You could try to do that after the kids go to bed. Put them to bed early. If they go to bed at 9 o'clock, you can hang with that. Do that and spend that time for yourself. Or if they can go to bed a little bit earlier, even better. Just so that you guys can have that check-in time with each other. Let me see another one. So this is something that I personally do. I actually get up before my younger son gets up. My younger son is 6 years old. If I put him to bed too early, he'll be up at 6 a.m. So Heidi doesn't put him to bed that early anymore. She puts him to bed around 9:30, 10 o'clock. He's up at like 7:30. So it works out perfect.
Really?
Six years old.
Wow.
Yeah. But when he was a baby, if I put him to bed at 9 o'clock, ese tipo estaba despierto a las 6 de la mañana. Forget 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock would have been 5 a.m. Heck no. It's so funny. I was just having this conversation with my sister. What time do you put him? 9:30, 10 o'clock. She's like, damn, really? I say, yeah, but he'll stay in bed until 7:30. So it works out perfectly. He doesn't start class until later. So it worked out. So I actually get up earlier. I got up at 6:30 today. I actually did some yoga. I shocked myself. I said, let me move my body a little bit. Let me do some yoga. And then I do my daily journaling. I do journaling every morning without fail, just to vent, to release, to cry, to be mad. And I drink it with, I have it with my coffee. With my Butelo, I do journaling. That's my ritual, you know, and I make my coffee on the estufa. I don't have a coffee maker. I do it in the pot, coladora. I sit there, listen. I do my coffee meditation. I listen to the water boiling. I go and I smell the coffee. I watch the pour. Like, I'm so specific about tuning into that. And that's another thing, you know, it actually leads me to my next point. Balance is BS. There is no such thing as balance. Because when I think of balance, I think of somebody standing in the middle of a seesaw when you're trying to stay completely mm-hmm. still with everything balanced in your hand. And we all know life is not like that.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle. Who could have predicted this? No one could have predicted this. So we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we're trying to stand like this, stand completely still. Like, if nothing bothers us in life. And that's BS. Total BS. So what I believe it is in flow. It's in understanding what your energy is like, understanding, oh, when I don't eat, I know I get hangry. When the kids don't nap, they get cranky. It's about understanding who you are as the person, meeting those needs for yourself, and also taking that time for yourself so you can give to your husband, to give to your job, to give to your kids. But you got to give to yourself first, because if you don't, you're going to run out of steam. And then what's going to happen? You're going to get sick, because that's automatically, that's what happens when people are so stressed out that they can't function. They get sick. They come down with the flu. They have something going on. And you don't want any of that.
Corona, and oh gosh.
And then you get anxiety. Then you got to call a therapist. And it's just this whole thing. So those are the things I would say. I would also say, just, you know, see if you could just ask for help, because it sounds like the two of you, as much as you guys are doing on your own, which is wonderful. Like I said, it's amazing. I celebrated you at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to have that support. You know, as mothers, you do not need to do everything. You know, sometimes something's just not going to get done. Like today, I forgot to go shopping. I went shopping a few days ago because there was a storm here in New York City. And I loaded up what we needed. But, you know, it's so funny. My older son, he got annoyed. He's like, oh, mom, the fridge is empty. I'm like, you know something? I love you, but I can't do everything all of the time. You know what this kid did? Because Mr. got a J-O-B. Ese se fue con el carrito to the supermarket. He made the shopping list, and he's out shopping right now. My 19-year-old. So listen, if he's willing to do it, he has the money to do it, he's motivated, I'll send you out the door. Whatever he doesn't know, he'll call me, he'll text me like, mom, and he'll ask me, and that's it. But if I don't delegate that, if I don't allow the space for him to help me, then I can't get the help that I need and the support that I need. So I have to be open to it first. It all starts with you being open to it, you being open to the support, you know?
Yeah. It's so true, because it does take a tribe. And that was my one of my questions that I had for you, is that how do we as diaz, tios, abuelas, friends, you know, family members support each other in this? Because I have a sister who has a toddler. She works from home. I have, you know, I have a god sister. She's got teenagers and, you know, young children working from going to school from home as well. And that is hard. Like, you have, you're not only being mom now, you're also part-time teacher, because you have to have this, you know, a relationship with the teachers. And I think it was, my god sister, her name is Haiti, and she was telling me the other day, she said, you know, her little one, I think, is maybe first grade. They said that a homework task was to type up a paper. These kids are not as proficient in typing. Like, they can send a text, but why would you know, send your kids to type up homework? Or, you know, realizing that these kids are not as proficient in the technology that as we thought they were.
Yes.
They can tell you how to fix your iPhone, mom. I can do that. But to sit down and type up a paper and to do all this other stuff, it's difficult. And then trying to keep them motivated in their schoolwork while they're at home, because they're at home in their jammies.
You know,
to sit in front of a laptop is different than sitting in front of your teacher in class.
Yes, it is very different. So in terms of support, well, definitely one thing is that with being a remote mom since March. Yes, March.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
14th, mid-March already. So from mid-March until now, I've been a remote learning mom. And what I can say is that I made the schedule work for me. So my son is in Catholic school. Thank God I could put him in Catholic school. And at one point they were doing hybrid. So they have their in-class kids, in-person kids, and then they have my son's group of remote kids. So she was teaching them Monday through Thursday, 45 minutes a day, and then they did independent learning. Now, I know that not everybody has it like me. So what I would do is that 8 o'clock, he will get up at 7, hang out, watch cartoons, whatever. 8 o'clock, I check for the homework in Google Classroom, have him do at least 2 assignments, make sure his tablet was charged. He earned tablet time by doing homework. He also has to do epic, so he has to do reading. So I would do YouTube videos of reading online or whatever. And then on my lunch break, try to finish the rest of the homework, which is like 3 or 4 assignments per day. And then something else that they understand is that as a working mom, I'm not going to be able to have everything uploaded by 4 o'clock. It's just no way. I'm like, okay, well, it gets done when it gets, okay, it's going to be marked late, but as long as it's done by the end of the day, you're good. So it's about communication too with the school. Some things I've noticed are unrealistic. I think that with time going on, people are adjusting their expectations. Yeah. I think it's crazy that, is it a first grader that had to type a paper? Because
yeah, I think so.
What?
Yeah, too no. Much.
That's completely unrealistic. But you know, that's for you to take it up with that school. My son has never had to do a paper. He's 6. He can't. I don't even let him touch the keyboard. Like, yo soy maniática. See, I would never. So it's. I would say it's a lot of communication with the school that helps. You know, being honest with yourself and honest with them of what you can and cannot do. You know, last week my son had to take a 0 in one of his assignments because he just didn't feel like doing it by the end of the day. He had a tantrum. I had just finished working. It was a Tuesday. I'm like, Lord, help me. I was like, okay, listen, teach. He's not doing this assignment. He did the other one. And it is what it is. And she's like, okay, yeah. But he's going to get a 0 on it. That's fine. He has an 8 average because he does everything else. Right? So, you know, it's just like, sometimes you just got to be like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's okay. The world would not end. The world would not end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of support for like the tías, the tíos, the grandmas, grandpas, you know, offering to do a Zoom call with the kid if they're struggling with a homework assignment, you know, oh, yeah. tía María, can you help him do his paper? Sure. Mm-hmm. You can help him talk about it, pick a topic, you could type it up for him and just email it to her. You know, things like that. Just, you know, if you could cook a meal and send it to them, if you could, you know, pop in and do childcare so she can, you know, take a nap or a rest or, I don't know, watch One Day at a Time on Netflix. That's my favorite show right now. Mm-hmm. You know, having date night with the husband, all of that stuff. It's just like, just showing up for people and showing them that you love them and you care for them by doing those things that they would appreciate. Lavándole los platos. Oh my God, if somebody could come and help me with my dishes because I'm the only dishwasher here, that would be beautiful to me. That would be amazing to me. Even now, like my son going to the supermarket, like I never thought I would see that today. And he just went and did it. He was motivated to do it. And it's just like, it's amazing because that means I'm teaching him something.
Yes.
It means that he's learning from me. So it's like, it's mind-boggling what this experience has done for all of us.
He's stepped up to the plate, yeah.
Yes, I was like, wait, what? If you're going to complain, go ahead, do it. He took me up on the challenge. It was really funny.
That's awesome. I love it. I think I remember being that same age or even younger, going to the supermarket and feeling so accomplished, like mm-hmm. I'm doing something great for my parents. So
yes,
you know, yes. It's amazing. And then when we have older kids in the home, mm-hmm. When they step up to the plate like that to be big sister, big brother, for, you know, the little ones, it's a great deal of a help because it shows that you did your job at teaching them.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it gives them a sense of pride, and it's just amazing. I think, like you said, a lot of us, especially us for Latinas, for us moms, we're so hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the self-talk is something that we need to change.
Yes.
Within our narrative.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not a horrible mother because I work.
Right.
No,
right.
I'm not a horrible wife because I'm exhausted at the end of the day and I fell asleep in the middle of our talk or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
That's you right.
Know? No, I'm not a horrible employee because I have children.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows that also there's something that there's flexibility that needs and change that needs to be done in mm-hmm. the professional world as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, it's funny that we're talking about it, because like a few days ago, one of my employees came to me and said, you know, can I change my schedule so I can go pick up my child from school? Now, if she were working for Tia Maria Inc., I would say, yeah, girl, go ahead.
Right.
But because we're both working, I'm working, helping this other company. Mm-hmm. We're both working for this other company. I have to abide by that policy and say,
right,
is there someone else you can that can help you with that? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I can't change your schedule. Let's look at other thing, other options, which was for me so frustrating.
Yes.
Right.
I can only imagine how frustrating.
So it was just, it just shed some light that there is so much change that we need to do, that not just expect our employees to be these robots.
Mm-hmm.
And just give their all to the company, but to realize that the reason we're all working is because we have families to provide for.
Right. Right. And I mean, in terms of the professional world, I'll tackle that before I go back to the self-talk, but in the professional world, that actually starts on the interview. That actually starts when you go to your interview, have your questions, because you are interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you. And yes. I don't think young people are told this, you know, and because we are taught in the Latino community, we got to eat poop and just do a job so we could pay the bills. Eat poop. And that means we're stuck in these situations where, as mothers, oh, I got to change my schedule because I need to go pick up my kid. Well, you agreed to the schedule before this problem happened. So I don't know what you're going to do, but our policy is you can't. You can't change it. Right. And so I say that starts at an interview when you're sitting there saying, okay, and what are the job expectations and what are the hours you're expecting people to work, and what's the flexibility? Like, if I have to come in late because of a school meeting, do I stay a little bit later? Do I make up the time? What if I need to leave early? What are the protocols around that? Right. And these are basic questions that people are not taught how to ask in the interview. And when you see someone that says, no, we have no flexibility, then there's your answer right there. Get up and you walk away from the job. That's not the place for you. Mm-hmm. And the reason I can say this is because I learned this the hard way. So hard. I had a foster care job and I was so upset at the time. I loved this job. It was like 4 years of my life, almost 5 years. And at the time they had wanted me, part of the work that I was doing in therapeutic foster care was behavior management. So that's all I did, was work with kids and foster parents. But the supervisor there wanted me to supervise a family visit. And what it is that there's a kid in foster care, they're seeing their parent in a supervised environment. And so the social worker couldn't do it because she had to do notes. I'm like, listen, just because she doesn't know how to do her job, why does that mean I got to do it for her? And at the time, my older son was 7. And I was like, but I can't do it. Because I didn't have a lot of help at the time. And the supervisor's like, you're going to have to do it. And I'm sitting there like, the hell am I going to do? And I actually had to ask my dad to go pick up his grandson one day a week for 6 months until this thing was done. And he did it for me. And that was another thing. I had to ask for help. I had to swallow my pride and ask for help. Mm-hmm. And really, that pride is also that guilt that we are fed by our families. Growing up, yes. Our families, the society, you know, oh, well, you can't be a good mother if you work. That's BS too, because guess what? I'm a damn good mother and I've been an amazing mother. I think I'm a better mother because I've been working all this time than if I would have stayed home, because it would have driven me crazy. But, you know, in terms of the professional world, it's about having these conversations like this in a public arena, in a public space, and just letting people know, listen, you interview those jobs. If they don't do it, if they're not flexible, then that's not the place for you. And, you know, I can't do anything about changing all of the culture around mothers. But what I can say is that if you go to these places where they're supporting mothers, where they're supporting families, where they have daycares in the building, where they let you out early, summer Fridays, because they know you want to have a good time on the weekends, where they they say, yeah, no, you got a medical appointment, go take care of your kid, the work will be here later, that's the place you want to stay in. Working Mother magazine puts out a list of the best companies in the United States for working mothers and working families. If people really want to understand how to find those places, go there and look for jobs in that, because they do have a profile. Every single year, Working Mother magazine does this every year. So that would be for the, yeah, so that would be for the professional one. It would be that. It's just you're interviewing. So when you're, it starts at the interview, mm-hmm. ask those questions. They're really hard to ask, but you'll be better off asking them. Now, to go back to the self-talk, that has to do, part of that has to do with challenging the norms that we have from our parents, from our families, right? And the other part of it is reconciling that and saying, you know what? My life is different than what my parents had. It's not the same thing, and I don't have to live in the same way. Now, this is going to be hard because that means you set boundaries with other people, with your parents, with your families. So the thing with boundary setting is it's not actually what you say. It's how you say it and also reinforcing it, because you don't say it once. You have to repeat yourself, and you also have to be prepared to back that up. One case in point is my father. So my older son was, oh gosh, he must have been like 3 or 4. And one day he came, and at the time I was working full time. I was going to school part time for my undergrad, to finish undergrad, and had my partner. And I was with their father, and he came, and the dishes were in the sink. So my father's like, mira, que por qué hay platos en el fregadero? I'm like, papi, you understand that I work full time. I take care of your grandson, take care of this house. And I go to school too, right? You know this? Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean you need dishes in your sink. I'm like, you know what, papi? Con todo el respeto del mundo. Si a ti no te gusta, puede ser dos cosas. O me lava los platos, o no te quejes. Now, that took some nerve on my part, because I was not assertive at all. I know people are probably rolling around like, what did she say to her father? My Ecuadorian father at that. So ese fue de aquí en diablao. He didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. Now, wow. Let me just say.
So typical too, by the way. I'm
just saying. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. But you know something? He went 2 weeks without talking to me. But guess what? I also went 2 weeks without talking to him. Because I wasn't going to call him and say, oh, but dad, you know. No, the fact of the matter is he cannot come into my home where he's an invited guest, does not live here, and you're going to complain about something that is not within your control.
Preach it, girl.
Not within your control. Mira, he came back because he would come for Butelo too. He's been coming for Butelo for years. So he'll come over for coffee. Mira, que tú no me puedes hablar así, que tú lo otro. I'm like, papi, yo no te falté respeto. Yo lo que te dije fue, que si a ti no te gusta los platos, o lo lava, o no te quejes. Porque eso no está debajo de tu control. You cannot come here and tell me what to do or how to do it. I am a grown adult woman. Mm-hmm. And if the dishes don't bother me, that's my problem. They're my problem. I don't understand why they bother you so much. You don't do dishes. And he was like, but he stayed. And whenever he would, now it's a joke with us. Now we joke about it. Right. He like, y lo flaco. He like sits at the table, leans over to look in the kitchen. I'm like, they're there. You all right? And I ask him, you okay? He's like, and he laughs. He's like, ha, tú tienes suerte que yo te quiero. I'm like, I love you too, dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I leave it at that. I don't even like, there's no opening the door when you're boundary setting. You don't leave the door open. It's non-negotiable, right? That's the rudest thing. That's like having a stranger come in the street and start saying, yeah, why you got dishes in the sink? Like, that's the rudest thing in the world. Just because you're my family doesn't mean I need to put up with that rudeness and disrespect. I love you, but no, tú tá mal, you know? And that's the stuff that we have to unlearn for ourselves and then retrain ourselves to say, you know what, I live my life for me. That man's not paying my bills anymore. I pay my own bills. That man is not raising my children. I raise my children. That man is not washing my dishes. I wash the dishes. He doesn't even wash dishes at his house. You know? Yes. Oh, man. We could have a long conversation about boundary setting. Matter of fact, you're going to have to get me and you're going to have to get me coming back another day so we can talk about that.
Have to. That's a whole nother episode. Who knows? Probably a series of episodes.
Absolutely. Yes.
A major topic.
Absolutely.
Just in our culture alone, it's just, it's so major. It's
yeah, it is huge. It's, I talk about it all the time, all the time.
Yeah. But it never gets old. You know, the self-care is important. Mm-hmm. Parents. I mean, if you made it this far, you know, it's just really, you can keep going for sure.
Yes, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, because even stay-at-home moms who, like I have a friend who has a little one and she had one in school. Then at the beginning of this pandemic, then she got two at home, which is so hard.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, all parents, whether you're stay-at-home mom, dads, working parents,
yeah, it doesn't matter. It was
difficult. You made it through.
Yeah. And yeah, the thing of it is that this is a collective trauma that we're all experiencing. Yes. Whether we have kids or not, this is not what we pictured 2020 to look like. Mm-mm. We did not no. And the fact of the matter is that we just need to be really gentle with ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves. Listen, hasta aquí yo llego. That's it. Then after that, I got to do something else because there's no way I can keep going. You know, you have to get your rest. Just like we charge our cell phones. Look, I'm charging my cell phone right now with my extra charger.
Right.
And, you know, we got to charge ourselves, recharge too. We have to get our rest. We have to get our sleep. We have to get our meals. Drink your water. Move your body. We have to release all of this tension, anxiety, and stress. You know, if you need a therapist, go get a therapist. I meet with my therapist every week. I am a therapist by training. I do self-care coaching on the side, and I meet with my therapist every week. And I don't know where I would have been right now if I didn't have her to check in with me every week, especially because I'm a single mother and I don't have a lot of help. I'm doing this Monday through every single day. Their father comes once a week on the days that I work. So it's not a break.
Right.
It's helpful, but it's not a break. And then Monday through Friday, it's just me and the nugget because my other son works full time. He works Monday through Friday. He's out of the door at 7 in the morning. So look at him. So like, it's all me 24/7. And so relying on my therapist has been such a blessing. Like I tell her, I'm like, I don't know what I would do right now if I didn't meet with you every Thursday. Go get one. I believe in therapy. I believe it's useful. If you want resources, I can send you that. We can have a whole nother conversation about therapy too. We could talk all the time if you want me to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But go get it.
I mean, even now with this, they have apps for it now too. Like you can just do video chats with your therapist. There's apps.
Yeah, you can.
There's so many resources out there right now for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just even for free, you can.
Yeah, and even with your insurance, you can get you can get therapy through insurance. You call your insurance company for providers. Look on Psychology Today. Ask your PCP for a referral for whatever kind of therapy you need, individual, family, child therapy, couples therapy, whatever it is that you want. You know, the resources are out there. You go get them and be good to yourself because every little thing you do is self-care. Whether you're doing Sudoku because you want to make your brain cells grow or you're writing in your journal because you want to write out your emotional pain, whether you stretch or you do yoga to exercise, you work, you challenge yourself, you know, you sit down and you pray, that spiritual self-care. It's so important. And I will not say it enough. The primary goal for me is well-being. That's it. So there could be a pandemic and there has been a pandemic. But honestly, if you focus on your well-being and you slow down when you need to, you adjust, you flow with your energy, then there is no balance because you're just like this all the time. Oh, I got to move this way. Right. I got to move this way and that way. There is no balance. It's just flow.
So and true. You just go. Like, was it? I think it was like the saying, was it being the eye of the hurricane or being the eye of the storm, where it's like the center yes. is like the most calm, yet the mm-hmm. most strongful parts, while yes. everything around it is just
chaotic and crazy.
Mm-hmm. and crazy. Mm-hmm. Be that center, find that center. Like for me, like, no, I'm not a mom, but I'm a tia, and you know, I see what my sister goes through, my friends go through, and sometimes even when my nephew is around, like I get a little bit of that window.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of that, and it's just like, holy shit, like at the end of the day, I need to do my meditation. Like, honestly, when he takes his nap time, I'm doing my meditation.
That's very smart. You know? Parents should do that too. Nap time is a great time to do your own thing.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's his quiet time. He is resting. Sleep is a form of meditation.
Absolutely. Okay,
I'm going to use that, and I'm going to do that for me. I do mm-hmm. my stretching. So it's just all about finding those small times, or even that, like you said, that early morning.
Yeah, ritual. You create it. But see, here's the thing. You don't find it, you create it.
Yes.
And that means you have to make that decision. Nope, I'm prioritizing my well-being. This is good for me. My kids are going to get a happier mommy because I take time for self-care. My husband mm-hmm. is going to have a happy wife because I'm doing self-care. Because mm-hmm. you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. So she got to get her self-care. Babe, let me take the kids. You go do your meditation. You need your meditation. You know, with the little kids, sometimes I used to send myself on timeout with when my older son was younger. You know what? I need to go take a timeout. You sit out. I'm going to go take a timeout. And I would go lay down and do a timeout. And he'd come in. Mommy. Yes. Is your timeout over? I don't know. Can I have it a little bit longer? Okay, Mom. And he would just sit. I think I shocked him. I shocked him when I did that.
I love that idea. That's
yes. A great idea. Do a timeout. A mommy timeout. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. It's the best, but you have to take it because nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody's going to swoop in and be your hero. You have to do that for yourself. Be your inner Wonder Woman. Call her out.
Yep. That's so true. It's just like, you know, when you go traveling in the plane, it's the first thing they do is tell you to put the oxygen mask on before you mm-hmm. help someone else. So you have to help someone else. I mean, I learned that myself as, you know, the hard way, that not taking care of myself as a nurse, yes. I'm taking care of all these patients,
right,
and taking care of everyone else. And I would go from shift to shift. Sometimes I would do 24 hours
oh my gosh
around the clock, and
oh.
out girl I
yes
so fast,
of course
I was done.
Listen, so, that's just not normal. That's against what we need as people.
Yeah,
24 hours of anything, that's crazy. That's why I commend our first responders, all our healthcare workers, because they do jobs that we don't. Same thing with moms.
Mm-hmm. Not true. Mm-hmm. I feel it. But thank you. This was amazing. Definitely great resources. So tell everyone, you kind of did tell everyone a little bit about what you did and mm-hmm. how they can reach out to you.
So what I do is self-care coaching for stressed out moms. I also use mindfulness to help them tune into themselves and understand what it is that they need. But this is already a superpower that moms have. We do this for our kids. We know when they need a nap. We know when they need to eat. We know when they're dehydrated. We know when they need a diaper change, when they're too hot, too cold. We just need to turn that energy into ourselves and just start doing it for ourselves again, because we need the support too. So everyone can find me on www.HeidiZalamar.com, and I'm Heidi Zalamar on LinkedIn. So all you got to do is just enter it and I'll come up, because I'm the only Heidi Zalamar that exists on the planet. There's nobody with my kind of name. And also, you know, I am offering a special gift for everyone who's listening today. It is my free guide. It's called Find Time for You in 15 Minutes or Less. And I know Maria is going to share it with the crew. That'll be wonderful. So basically what this is just an exercise in just looking at your time, getting rid of time wasters, and then scheduling time for you. It's a three-step process. This will not be something you break your head over. Like my mom used to say, no te vas a romper la cabeza haciéndolo. It's just you getting serious about where you're spending that time. You do have it. It's just you're wasting it probably on things that do not help your self-care anyway. They do not help you release stress. They just distract you. For me, it's Instagram scrolling. I could stay hours in the search function on Instagram. Guilty. Yes. So yeah. I have a timer that tells me I've been on there half an hour and then I get off because I just can't do it anymore. So that free guide will be there just to get you started, because once you know what where you have that time, then you can schedule yourself in there and then you can plan your activities. And if anybody wants to know more about my services, they could come to my website.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll definitely have the resources up on my Instagram and Facebook pages. So if you would love to reach out, go ahead. And thank you, Heidi, for doing this. This has been amazing. We'll definitely have to do this again for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
So exciting. Thank you all for listening. Until next time. All right. Let's move on to the tarot message of the week. This week's tarot message for the week is the Five of Blades, the Spiritualist card. I'll have a picture of it on my Instagram page at Café y Consejos Podcast. This week we're being asked to stop and honor and thank our ancestors, those who have paved the road for us, ahead of us. Maybe you're feeling like the road that you're on is never ending. Maybe you feel like you're the light at the end of the tunnel, you'll never see it. But what the card does show is that there is a sun shining right behind a black cloud, and your ancestors, your guides are talking to you and telling you to keep going forward. They're by your side. Just keep moving. You'll get to where you want to be. And that is the message of the week. Thank you so much for listening, Sobrinos. Please remember to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. Every Saturday, I host a free meditation session on Instagram Live, so make sure to check out for that. You can also buy a Thea cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Thea Maria. And as always, remember, tu tía loves you, siempre pa'lante, y portate bien.